The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
She was never a Washington girl. Never. She didn't even care about politics. And yet she became one of the most powerful people in Washington, D.C. Her name is Hope Hicks. She was Trump's communications director. She was one of the longest serving advisors and arguably Trump's most trusted aide. She had often had the challenging job of talking him down from an angry tweet or redirecting his attention elsewhere. She corralled the press to, you know, get on message when they were at odds with each other, which was all the time, apparently, in the White House. And she would bring them together. Hey, press department, come together. Many of the staff viewed her as a protector against Trump's outbursts, an older sister shielding her little brother from the father's wrath. But yesterday, Hicks appeared to have had enough. She told the president that she was resigning. Now, was this an angry thing? I don't know. I mean, I've read things yes, and I've read things no. I don't know. Her resignation came a day after she testified for 8 hours before the House Intelligence Committee. She told a panel that in her job, she had occasionally been required to tell little white lies, but she had never lied about anything connected to the investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 election. Now, were people at the White House happy about that? I'm sure not. But she's not a Washington politician. Her revelation to the panel isn't really shocking, and I don't think it was the impetus for her leaving the White House. She's a 29-year-old former model who wanted to work in fashion. I doubt she had any aspirations of becoming the communications director. Then I'll rule the world. By all accounts, it sounds like she just took her job, in stride. It didn't seem like it was her dream to be there. She thought she could serve. She did. The limelight and the scrutiny of the House Intelligence Committee and her relationship with Rob Porter made public appeared to have pushed her to end something she really never wanted to start. When she leaves the White House in a couple of weeks, she's going to escape relatively unscathed. She, by all accounts, did a good job. She didn't stay to see her reputation get dragged through the dirt like so many before her. Trump has stated many times that Hicks is very smart. And I believe he's telling the truth.
It's Thursday, March 1st. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. I'm glad you're here. I want to hear from you today, because yesterday was a crazy day constitutionally, a crazy day politically. I expected the kind of words that came out of Donald Trump's mouth yesterday on live television. I expected those coming out of the mouth of President Obama behind closed doors, something that he would have never said. But I never expected to hear them from a president who was on the Republican side and had the backing of the NRA and is heading supposedly the party that cares about the Constitution. It was pretty unique.
It's interesting, too. The defense seems to be that he doesn't really mean it. He just says these things in these moments, and then he winds up ending up in the right place, which, has been true in the past and hopefully is true here again. We're going to be critical of his words when he says these things about the Second Amendment.
As we have to be.
You are listening to a show that cares more about the Second Amendment than any politician. We care more about the Second Amendment than the feelings of any Republican or Democrat.
I care more about all of the Bill of Rights.
Yes,
and the amendments than any politician, all of them.
Yeah, I mean this is a show that cares about principles more than personalities. You know, that's if you don't like that show, there's plenty of shows that do the other thing.
Yep.
I think there's a good chance that Donald Trump, who's not He's never been a gun aficionado. He's not. He doesn't live in that culture. He has. I mean,
or
you could tell.
Constitutionalist.
Do we have the? We have some of the audio here. Should we go through some of this? Because
yeah, quickly.
I mean, he clearly doesn't have an idea of what has happened in the debate for, let's say, the past 5 years. The biggest thing in the past 5 years after Sandy Hook was the Manchin-Toomey Amendment that they tried to push through, which would have tightened gun control. It's basically the reason why Pat Toomey is not considered a big Tea Partier anymore. He was basically kicked out of the Tea Party movement, even though the rest of his record's pretty darn good. I mean, Toomey's been a pretty good senator, with the exception of guns. And the right, rightly, I think, took him on and said, I don't like the way you're trying to compromise here. You're pushing too far. We can't let these rights be infringed. So they pushed back on that pretty hard. Yesterday, Trump talking to Pat Toomey, who he seems multiple times to have no idea that Pat Toomey proposed a gun control measure in the very recent past.
Yes.
He actually thinks Toomey is afraid of the NRA. Listen to this exchange.
Mr. President, you're absolutely right. You can lead on this in a way that nobody else can, because for all of those Americans out there that the Second Amendment is so critically important to them, they believe you, that you're not going to go into their home and take their firearms. So you have a credibility that nobody else can bring to this. That's why you can lead. Maybe you've heard my call. You act when you see an opportunity to save life.
I'm going to lead, but we're all going to lead. We're going to get this done in a bipartisan manner. I'm not even worried about 60 votes. I really believe that 60 votes, 60% meaning, should be so easy. Should be 100%. Chris, did you have something?
No. I think you underestimate the power of the gun lobby. So.
No, I'll tell you what. The reason I had lunch with the NRA on Sunday, I called them. I said, you got to come over. I said, fellas, we got to do something. And they do have great power. I agree with that. They have great power over you people. They have less power over me. I don't need it. What do I need? But I tell you, they are well-meaning. And I said to them very nice, I said, fellas, we got to do something. We can't keep restricting, and we can't keep, we have to do what's right. When it comes to mental health and other issues, I said, we have to do what's right. And I'm telling you, I think they're there. Some of you people
They've
are petrified
always been there.
Of the NRA. You can't be petrified. They want to do what's right, and they're going to do what's right. I really believe
that was another time where he said, he was taking on the senators for the NRA and the congressmen. But again, I'll defend Trump on this point quite a bit, which is, the NRA has been incredibly loyal. David French pointed that out last hour. You pointed it out as well. And it's true. The NRA has been incredibly loyal to Trump. That being said, I have absolutely no problem with a president taking on an advocacy group that has sided with them in the past.
No,
that's exactly what I want out of a president.
Me too. Me too.
If Trump really believes that we should have, more gun control and things that the NRA is comfortable with, he should take on the NRA.
Yes.
I mean, he should.
You got to be your own person.
Of course. So I have no problem with him taking on the NRA. I have the problem with the substance of what he's taking them on for.
Yes.
Which is, I don't think he seems to know it. Let me play the Trump tells senators he's a fan of NRA, change age to 21. This is about the idea of changing the age of purchasing firearms to 21 for long guns. Listen to this exchange. This is with Pat Toomey.
And I'm a fan of the NRA. I mean, there's no bigger fan. I'm a big fan of the NRA. They want to do right. These are great people. These are great patriots. They love our country. But that doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. It doesn't make sense that I have to wait till I'm 21 to get a handgun, but I can get this weapon at 18. I don't know. So I was just curious as to what you did in your bill.
We didn't address it, Mr. President. Look, I think
why? Because you're afraid of the NRA. Right?
To me.
The NRA 5 years ago.
But again, he's asking Pat Toomey what is in his bill. This was the biggest piece of the gun debate in the past 6 years. Why is he walking into a meeting on national television to ask Pat Toomey what's in the bill? I mean, how can you possibly be having this meeting in public if you don't know what Manchin-Toomey is? How can you possibly be talking about that?
Well, it probably is the same reason why he said what he said about, let's take the guns first. Listen what he's saying with Mike Pence.
The due process.
Due process.
Here. Well, in the category, you spoke about it, Mr. President, gun violence restraining orders. They're called, California actually has a version of this. And I think you, in your meeting with governors earlier this week, individually and And as a group, we spoke about states taking steps, but the focus is to literally give families and give local law enforcement additional tools if an individual is reported to be a potential danger to themselves or others. Allow due process so that no one's rights are trampled, but the ability to go to court, obtain an order, and then collect not only the firearms, but any weapons in the possession
or
of that individual.
Or might take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system, because a lot of times by the time you go to court, it takes
true.
So long to go to court to get the due process procedures. I like taking the guns early, like in this crazy man's case that just took place in Florida. He had a lot of firearms. They saw everything. To go to court would have taken a long time. So you could do exactly what you're saying, but take the guns first, go through due process second.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's not how our
system. So here's what's...
It is another system. He's
here's
right
what
on.
Happened yesterday. This is, you know, the world according to Glenn. Donald Trump walks out with Mike Pence at his side. And he says, Mike, that was a great meeting. Great meeting. I think we made a lot of progress.
Sure was, Mr. President. How about that one time, though, when they were trying to lure you into voting for all the gun control measures that they've been pushing for a long time? You really read that out. And I saw what you did there. And that was fantastic.
Why don't you tell me, Mike, what you think I was doing?
Oh, like when the point when Dianne Feinstein was smiling giddily next to you because you seemed to agree to an assault weapons ban. We know you didn't do that. And I know what you were doing with her trying to show her true colors. You sure proved that. And that's why we're going to get to you that bill that we talked about earlier. Remember the one that doesn't violate the Second Amendment? We're going to get that to you here in just a couple minutes.
Really.
And that's the one you want to back, right? That's just like we talked about before that meeting, right? Like you're still on that bandwagon.
Yeah,
right?
I'm still there.
Okay,
I thought
so. You really, I mean, you've outsmarted them. Yeah. What happened was you showed their true colors.
This is what I think happened.
Yeah, and now you see it this morning, Trump is tweeting as if that conversation happened. He's like, well, we got to respect the Second Amendment. And, you know, he sounds a lot more like a Republican president today than he did yesterday. And if that's the outcome of this, it's scary because one of these times it's not going to work. But if that's the outcome, then we're all going to be fine in a couple weeks. It certainly has to make you nervous that his instincts are take the guns first. And his
process.
Knowledge level is, I don't know about the biggest issue in this area as I stand in front of the entire nation in a public meeting talking with the guy who sponsored the bill that I don't know anything about and accusing him of being afraid of the NRA. it's so
incredible.
Someone pointed out on Twitter today that he sounds at times like the president is a caller on sports radio. You know, a guy who's just kind of like, he knows generally the topics, he knows the teams, he knows some of the players, but he doesn't know how to run a sports franchise. And
so I might say that yesterday sounded more like Glenn Beck calling sports radio. Your phone calls for the rest of the hour. I just want to hear from you. Speak your mind. Because I know this audience, you're not going to hold your peace, so speak your mind. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck.
Let's go to Richard in New York. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
Very good.
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
Very good.
All right. I'm giving you a call because I think the narrative needs to change from gun control to people control. I don't think that the government's got it right on this one. I also think that I have two proposed ideas that I think would resolve a lot of the issues. I don't think anything will ever fix 100% the issues of gun violence or any type of violence for that matter. But I think the issue should be if we ask our police departments and people in the police department to take a psychological evaluation, a written one, prior to being hired to be on the police department. I think that in order to purchase a firearm, you should have to go through the same exact exam.
Well, why is that?
I think that would take care of the mental illness issue with people who are mentally ill. It'll also resolve the issue of temporary insanity. What stops a person who has... you know, who's 50 years old, gets fired from their job and goes buys a weapon and goes on a mass shooting at their job? You know, the only thing that would stop them is if they had to take an exam that would test their temperament and to see if they're eligible to purchase a firearm.
All right. Well, a couple of thoughts with this, Richard. First of all, temporary insanity is not insanity. So there's no test for temporary insanity. It's something that you snap. That's why it's called temporary insanity, because something extraordinarily emotional just happened to you and you snap, and you wouldn't necessarily be able to test for that in advance. The second thing is you're talking about applying a standard that is given to the police department. Well, the police, it's not a right to be a police officer. Okay, that's a privilege. That's a job. It's not a right. And you said something that I thought was disturbing. I think I understand what you're saying, but the key word here is control. You said we got to go from gun control to people control. Well, that's really the same thing. That's why the Second Amendment exists, so someone cannot control the people, so the people can control themselves. So if we look at this and say, is it a right? See, this is the problem that we're having, is we're dancing around the issue. Is my owning a gun a right? If it is a right, then I automatically have it. I've been endowed by my creator. So anything that stands between that right and me is unnatural and wrong according to the Constitution. Anything that happens after I receive that right, then you can do that. So in other words, I have the right to own a gun, and you want to test me before I get the gun? No. You want to say that there are things in place that if I start to have erratic behavior, you can go in front of a court and constitutionally, for my Fourth and Fifth Amendment, have due process. You can't just take my gun, but I have due process. Then you can do that. But it's either a right or it's not. It's the same as voting rights. It's a right to vote. So anytime you want to put a poll tax, anytime, this was the problem with African Americans. Well, you got to pass this test to see if you're really able to vote. No, I don't. It's my right to vote.
And I agree with that to a certain extent. But I think if we can put parameters on different events of life of to test you to figure out if you're qualified to do certain things, qualified to be a lawyer. Just because I go read the law books tomorrow doesn't qualify. There's a parameter.
It's not a right. It's not a right.
Not a right to be a lawyer.
It's not a right to be a lawyer.
You could do this. You just have to. You have to get rid of the Second Amendment to do
it. Yeah. I mean, look, Richard. This may be what you know we end up doing. I hope to God not. But I see your reason. However, to get there, you must deny that owning a gun is a right. And that's where, you know, half of the country is, that it's not a right. Well, it is. And the only way around it is to abolish the Second Amendment, which can be done. We've done it to the 18th Amendment, which was the Prohibition Amendment.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
You can abolish the Second Amendment. I highly recommend against it, but the only way is to say it is no longer a right. Then you can have all kinds of litmus tests, but not while it remains a right.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.
It is.
Gun control works in other countries.
40% of all guns are sold without background checks.
More guns means more murder.
Mass shootings are becoming more common.
You've heard all these lines 1,000 times. Know the facts. Get Control, exposing the truth about guns on Amazon and wherever books are sold.
We have a really inspiring update for the Nazarene Fund coming up in about 35 minutes that you don't want to miss, and your phone calls as well. I want to go off the last phone call that we had, because I think this is really important to have this conversation. And that is, what is a right? What does it mean? What does the Constitution and the Bill of Rights mean? And the Bill of Rights and the constitutional amendments are really clear. And most people don't think of it this way. But let's start with the 13th Amendment. Stu, That abolished slavery, did it not?
No, it did not.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. No, the 13th Amendment said all indentured servants and all slaves, no more slaves.
Yeah, it could kind of say that. However, it left an exception out.
An exception?
An exception. If it's only, it can, you are prohibited from putting someone in involuntary servitude or slavery, except for a punishment of for a crime. We've seen people on the side of the road collecting trash. You've seen this in every, you know, prison movie going back the past 100 years.
Right. Chain gangs.
Chain gangs, right? I mean, that is essentially involuntary servitude.
Right. It's a form of slavery, if you will. You're a slave to the system. You will do and work as the system says. Because, so the 13th Amendment says there's no slavery or involuntary servitude
except this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We all know the third amendment, right? Nobody knows the third amendment.
It's my favorite amendment.
It is mine too.
I don't know why.
You shall not be required to quarter soldiers in your home.
That's what the amendment says, right?
No, it doesn't.
No.
It says unless
it's wartime and they pass a law saying they can put quartered soldiers
right
in your home.
So in other words, you can say you're not quartering these soldiers in my home, and you can hold up the Third Amendment and say absolutely that's against the Constitution. They say no, actually we're at war and here's the law we passed. Okay, so there are exceptions and they're written into the Constitution. Now, most of them don't have the unless, but there is only one that says, and there is no unless. There is no exception, and you will not infringe on this. The Second Amendment is the strongest right because there is no unless. There is no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at the First Amendment, it just talks about Congress making laws. You know, it prohibits Congress from making laws that will any law respecting an establishment of a religion, right? Mm-hmm. But as we know, you know, the states still had state. Massachusetts had a state religion when this thing was passed, right? There are all sorts of exceptions. The second one is really clear. They seem to make that one really important. Hey, you can't infringe on this one.
So the reason why you have to understand that this is a right. This is a right. And not a suggestion. It is something that, according to our system of government, you are born with certain rights. And they can't ever be taken away from you. Unless there's an exception. But there is one right that says shall not be infringed. So this is a God-given right that nobody can take away. If you understand that it is a right first, then you can understand and tie it in other things. For instance, voting, poll taxes. We all know that that was an infringement on a right. Wait a minute. Because I'm African American, I have to pay a tax. Because I'm African American, I have to take a test. No, I don't have a test that I have to take. I have a right. Unless it's taken away because I'm a criminal. And that's a new addition. So you have a right to vote. We all know. They don't spy on you as the default. Well, I mean, now they do because we're violating the Fourth Amendment. But they don't. We all know the government does not have a right to spy on you. What they have is no right to spy on you unless they can go to a court and get a warrant because they've proved there's enough here that we need to follow and spy on you. So there is an unless. In that right, there isn't with voting. There isn't an unless.
There's just age.
Yeah. There isn't an unless in the Second Amendment. You want all of your rights. Rights are yours by default. What people are talking about now is, no, well, let's make the default you don't get one unless you do this. No, no, no. Rights mean you have that unless you do these things.
Yeah, I mean, it goes fundamentally. It's the constitutionalist argument is you're innocent unless you're proven guilty.
Right.
And the current way of looking at this from the left and others is you're guilty unless you can be proven innocent.
Right.
That's a huge, massive
chasm. It's 180 degrees different. That is no longer a right. That becomes then a privilege. Now, with this, we have to talk about responsibilities. If you are not responsible, you lose your rights. And quite honestly, that's why we are losing rights now, because we have shown ourselves irresponsible with those rights. Everybody always says, I have rights, you know. Yeah, I know. But you also, dude, have responsibilities. Let's go to Mike in California. Hello, Mike. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, Glenn and Stu. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to say the whole thing about the psychological background checks.
Yeah.
I, for one, don't trust psychologists, and I think a lot of Americans feel this way. The APA has been completely politicized. Their votes on transgenderism and homosexuality and all that proves it. They were political votes, not having anything to do with actual data and studies. And I've known a lot of people who are messed up people who went into psychology to try to figure themselves out, and then they came out with a job, you know? So, I mean, I knew one marriage and family therapist who was bipolar and manic. So, yeah.
You're exactly right, Mike, on this, that we have to be really careful about anything having to do with psychiatric being a default, because everything is being politicized. Now, that's why the proposal that the right is proposing is that we have a system to where your family, just like committing people, where your family can come in and say, look, Your Honor, we need to make sure that he doesn't have these guns because he is a danger. And that could have stopped the shooting in Florida. Would have stopped. The parents called and said, can you come please take the guns? Thanks, Mike. Jamal, North Carolina. Hello, Jamal.
Hey, Glenn, what's going on this morning? Hey, Stu, let me say this real quick. When President Trump did what he said about the due process, what he was saying was you have liberals that have come after due process for everything else. This whole Me Too movement was attack on due process. So what he was basically saying is when CNN, MSNBC, and all the mainstream media come after him, whenever he says something, they come after him. So if he get Democrats in the media on record saying, okay, fine, President Trump is against due process, well, we're supporting due process. So now by them doing that, by them going against him and saying, well, he's against due process, he can't do that. Well, here's the thing. Now what they have done, they have shut down the Me Too movement. They have shut down Black Lives Matter trash. They have shut down some of their main liberal agendas because their main liberal agendas are against due process.
So, Jamal, you are way ahead of the game. You are right on the money on how due process, anybody who is against this but for the Me Too movement in the way it's, I mean, to its nth degree, you're exactly right. But I believe beyond that, you are a little wishing and hoping, kind of like people were when Justice Roberts said, no, I'm cool with the whole tax people, you know, just to be an honest citizen.
This is like 67,000 dimension chess we're talking about with Joel.
Well, Glenn, I'm going to tell you this. The Republicans, we play checkers while the Democrats play chess, liberals play chess. I am a Trump fanatic. I love President Trump. I love you guys, too. But here's the thing also. When they have been attacking the Second Amendment ever since 1934, when they passed the amendment, the law against the Thompson submachine gun, that's when they first started doing it. They've been eroding the Second Amendment more and more. They find more reasons to deny you the right to have the second than they do for voting. I support voter ID, okay? Let me tell you this. I support voter ID. I believe it is. The failures in the black community is the failure of the black church. And every time you turn around, they come about voter ID, they always want to make it look like it's racism in polls because the Democrat Party feed that. Now, if they want to sit there and they want to say about the Second Amendment, this is why they can always run to the argument, Glenn, well, you can't have an automatic. You can't have an automatic. The liberals and the communists, what they did long ago was they set up a chessboard, because I love chess. They put a pawn in a certain place where you can't bring your knight, you can't bring your bishop, you can't bring your queen out at all. You can't do that because that pawn sits right there. So they've been attacked the Second Amendment long ago when they passed in the 1934 when they said you couldn't have the cops with submachine guns. When they said, well, no Americans can be trusted. Then they kept finding ways to chip away with it. Glenn, on my page, I have to debate people all the time because I'm out of Jamal and I have a conservative page. I do videos. But Glenn, I have to debate people and explain to them, driving a car is not a right.
Yes,
that's
I know.
A privilege. The Second Amendment is a right.
I know.
The forefathers, Glenn, they don't think the forefathers knew about automatics, but if you do history, they had the puckle gun. The forefathers knew about automatics.
Yeah, that's right.
Jamal, you are spot on, and like I said at the beginning, way ahead of the average person. I will correct one thing. It didn't start with the Tommy gun. It started with Reconstruction. That's when the Democrats first came after the guns, and they came after the guns with the African-American community for their own protection. That way they could ride in with the Klan at night. Thanks, Jamal, for your call. Dick, quickly in California.
Yes, good morning.
Hey.
Sir, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Can we ratchet this back to the original stimulus for the conversation, which happened to be the comments by Vice President Pence and President Trump yesterday?
Sure.
This whole discussion has come into a what I call a plate of spaghetti as compared to a waffle. The idea here seems to be, and let me tell you where I'm coming from. I flew in the Navy. I carried weapons. I'm a lifer with the NRA, but not because of any extreme sensibility to the Second Amendment, which I support. But there are also many other amendments that support the rights of other people that are to be protected against someone who has violated the Second Amendment, which this guy did. He violated the Second Amendment. And if we were to look at the comments by Vice President Pence, he says, you know, go through the due process to the courts. And President Trump comes in and says, take the guns away. Well, in order for us to take the gun away from that man, we would have had to get a search warrant. Is that not true?
Yes.
Well, how do you get a search warrant? Do you go to court or do you go to a judge,
Right.
He's a court officer, but it's not going to court. You can get a search warrant in a heartbeat. And that's, I think, where President Trump was coming from. You get that search warrant based on all of the red flags that came through for, what, 2 years previously with this guy? So if you're going to do that, President Trump is saying shortcut that system to the law, which is a search warrant, and not go through the due process, which takes a lot of time.
No, there's a difference between a search warrant, because that is saying that I can violate the Fourth Amendment and I can search because we have reason to believe there is something on the premises that will convict you of the crime, that we have enough evidence that we've brought to a judge to say we think we can find this here. That's not to take it to take your possessions away and violate another amendment. You have, for the Second Amendment, you need another procedure, not just a judge. I think we have enough secret courts, quite honestly.
Glenn Beck.
We have some really positive and exciting news that's coming up after the top of the hour. Really exciting news. Something that will make you feel good. Aren't you in a mood once in a while just to feel good, just to be like, okay,
no,
we're making some progress some places. And your phone calls are around the corner. Next hour, 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.